Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Slava, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello, welcome. Welcome to another show of Talking Smooth Jazz. How is everyone doing? Mike, how are you?
Doing great today, Terry. Doing great. How are you doing out there in Vegas?
Pretty good. Doing really well. Went to see Najee last night. Great concert. Talk about that a little bit later. And welcome, DA, to the chat room. The phone number is 646-716-5485, and we are talking to saxophonist Shanice James today about her group and her music. Her group is called the Shanice James Project. Shanice, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it is our pleasure. I was telling Shanice off air that I went to see her mentor last night, who is Najee. How did you meet Najee?
Well, actually, it started like in a fan kind of situation. When I was in high school, it must have been back in 1995, and I remember my band director telling us when I was in the jazz band that you all have to listen to some people and to kind of imitate them, to understand how jazz is supposed to be played. So I loved his music. So I started writing to him, and he wouldn't write back right away, but maybe towards the end of the year, I guess after he finished doing all of his touring for the year, he would always write back to me. And so then, of course, when you're in school, kids tease you and say, oh, yeah, that's not really him writing, that's somebody else writing for him. But then all these years later, I found out that he was actually writing those letters. So then when I went away to college, and this was during the time where I guess email was starting to become really popular. So he was like, well, look, I don't really write letters anymore, so I emailed. Why don't you start emailing me? I emailed them, and then I told him, I said, well, look, I'd like to talk to you on the phone maybe one day. Then soon after that, he called me, and he came down to my school and was like, look, let's go out to have some coffee or something. But he ended up taking me out to dinner, and we just talked, gave me a lesson, and we've been, like, cool ever since. So.
Oh, that is great. Yeah. Now, Shanice, I'm getting some feedback or a little sound when you talk. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's probably my earpiece. Is that better? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, so great. So now you have a mentor in Najee, and yes, he was here last night in Las Vegas performing. It was a great concert. We talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and really enjoyed having him on the show. So that's cool that you can have a mentor, in an artist like that. Has he seen you perform?
Yes. When he comes to town, he always invites me up on stage. And it lets me play. So we've done that twice. One time was a rain out at a festival in Richmond, Virginia. And I think the second time, he came back a couple of years later, then we did it again. So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
All right.
Pretty
good
cool.
For you. Yeah. So tell us about the Shanice James Project.
Well, I started my band, I guess it's been about almost 8 years ago. My anniversary is going to be next month. And I started it because I came back home. My hometown is Richmond. And I came back home, and I was like, I need to play. And so I would go around sitting in and stuff like that with people, or either they would want me to play in a group, but the group would always end up being like a garage kind of band thing. We would always rehearse, and we would never go out and get gigs. So after a couple of, I would say, interesting experiences being a female, aside from being just the musician too, mm-hmm. it just kind of made me just want to focus and it's like, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. And so while I was, I think it was one group I was playing was like a so-called top 40 band. And while I was working with that group, I was building my own, putting musicians together and, you know, just really from the ground up, really didn't kind of, I didn't really know what I was doing. It was my first time going out under my own name. But, you know, it was a learning process and I, you know, kind of pounded the pavement and as soon as, I mean, everything just came together. All of a sudden, you know, I was getting all of these gigs and, you know, it was kind of like that first year was just, it was interesting. It was really amazing how everything just happened. So from there, that's how the group, you know, we became, you know, of course we, you know, rotate musicians and I don't work with the same people that I did when I first started. But now, you know, I've grown as a musician and some of the people around me have grown and, you know, we've just been rolling ever since. So Now I'm at this year is really special because I'm actually recording and going to get this, you know, trying to put this new CD out and really going to push this one, you know.
So, mm-hmm. Very cool. Now let me ask you, Shanice, now you went to, like you were in Richmond Public Schools and you went to Norfolk State, but when did you first pick up a saxophone and know that that's what you wanted to play?
Well, when I was in elementary school and, you know, they had this little band program. So my dad was like, okay, well, we'll go to the music store. We'll check it out. We'll rent her and see if you're going to stick with it. And so I wanted to play saxophone. You know, I want to play that, Dad. So my dad was like, don't you think it's a little kind of masculine? So I was like, okay. So he's like, what about the flute or what about the clarinet? And I was like, well, then I wanted to play the flute. And then I was like, well, I don't know anybody that plays the flute. So I had a cousin that played the clarinet. And I thought that she would teach me. That never happened. So I ended up going with the clarinet. I started with that first. But a couple of years later, I ended up some kind of way coming back to the saxophone when I got to middle school, and I started playing tenor. And I've been with the sax ever since. So.
Okay.
Then, yeah. Picked up the flute later on, and then I came. So.
Oh, you did.
We're gonna play some.
Well, we do have some of Shanice's music that we're going to play in a few minutes. But I have a phone call for you, Cheryl.
Yes.
That you. Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
Mike. I'm good.
Hey, Cheryl. What's going on?
Meet Miss Shanice.
Hey, Shanice. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. I've seen you perform a few times at Deja Blue. In Virginia Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
and very talented, very good. She does a great show, guys. You got to come to the beach and check her out. That's one way to get Mike down there, too. And, Shanice, I just wanted to ask you, have you ran into any obstacles being a female saxophonist that you think maybe your male counterparts haven't had to endure?
Yes. It actually, one of the first instances I've ever had was, this is like right before I decided I was going to put together a band. And I was working with this lady. She had a group. And, you know, you would think nothing was put together, you know. But she had a group. And so she would, you know, she wanted me to come and play with her all the time. And so I asked, because a friend, a trombone player, turned me on to this gig. And he was like, you know, go and ask her, you know, she should probably pay you, you know. And I go, I ask her, I said, well, you know, I said, I've been coming to rehearsals, I'm showing up to the gigs all the time, you know, I would like to get compensated too. And so she told me, she was like, well, you know, I was just trying to give you some experience, you know. Mm. And she was like, you know, I can't pay you, you know. So, but she would pay all the other men. So actually that was something that happened from another woman. And I always, you know, I looked at it and I said, you know what, I will never do anybody like that. You know, so men or woman. So that was one incident that I had to deal with, and that was from a female. And then there's been, you know, of course, there's been other incidents where you would get advances from men that are in a higher position, say like a venue owner or a club owner or something, you know. And so, you know, but you, you learn how to deal with it, or either, like, I had a buffer. He was, like, my manager, but, like, my, but a really good friend of mine. You know, he wouldn't take anything from me, but he would be, like, my buffer. So if I didn't want to deal with certain things, and even still to this day, I don't use, we don't do that a lot, but if I feel like, hey, you know, there's too much riffraff going on, I would use my buffer. And it's always good to have somebody like that, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And what about now? Have you seen her recently, or has she seen you perform, or have you, you know, ran into her, and what does she say about you now?
She every now and then I'll run into her. I haven't seen her in years, but she will always smile, and I think she feels bad for saying how that worked out between us, but she'll always smile. It's like, you know, yeah, you know, it's good to see you doing your thing. But I think she might feel a little funny about that whole incident. Or maybe she doesn't even remember. I don't know. But I do. I remember. So.
Oh yeah.
I'll never forget that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Wow, that's interesting. That is interesting. Cheryl, you have any more questions?
I just want to tell Shanice that she couldn't have picked a better mentor than Najee. you knew I had come on to something like that, right, Terry?
She is Najee's number one fan.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Yes. He awesome guy, and everything you said about him is so true. Great guy. You picked a great one. Just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know,
it's killing me not being in the chat room so I can be typing all of this to Terry and Mike, but.
Well, hopefully I get a chance to the next time I see you, you know, you come up, I can see your face. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, because I know Tavis and everything. So I've seen you down there a couple of times. So next time I'll make sure I come up and say hello to you.
All right, cool.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Miss Cheryl.
You're welcome, Terry.
All right.
Talk to Cheryl.
Okay.
I'm going to put you back on mute.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay. All right, let's listen to some music from Miss Shanice. The first song, she sent me three MP3s, and this music is from your Live at the Canal Club CD.
Yeah.
The first song is When I Think of You. Tell us about that one.
When I Think of You, well, first of all of these are covers, number one. And this is an Everett Harp tune.
And it's Everett Harp, okay.
Yeah, this is Everett Harp tune. And so what the Live at Canal Club CD, we were opening for Joyce Cooling. And at the time, I was working at our smooth jazz station in Richmond. I was I was assistant to the programming director. So it was like, well, we want somebody in-house, you know. Why don't you open up for her? So I was like, cool, you know. And we just took that opportunity and was like, well, we'll do a live recording. Never thought that we were going to just to record, just to mess around and see what it sounded like. And I ended up kind of, you know, turning into something else. So that was, and everything that you hear, that's all the feedback from the audience. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is live?
It's a live. Live recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is When I Think of You. right. That was live. When I think of you, I almost said live from this side. When I think of you, where was that performed at?
That was done in Richmond, and it's a venue called the Canal Club.
Okay. So, all right.
Oh. Now, Shanice, now you work with a lot of people. You know, you open up with a lot of people and everything, like Norma Brown, Aaliyah Adams. You open up for Life Jennings and things like that. How has that experience been for you? You know,
it's been that's always cool to open up for somebody else because you get a chance to. A lot of times, you have a really big turnout. You know, because they want to see the main act. So it's an opportunity for me to try to build more of a following, and especially when I have a product out there at the venue. So it's definitely very beneficial because sometimes you don't get those same people. They say that they like, you know, jazz or whatever, but a lot of times they won't really come out and those type of numbers. But when you open up for someone, you know, you just kind of get it's like a whole nother audience, you know? So it's I do like doing bigger shows. When I can.
Yeah, right.
And see, and that's what me and Terry, we've been saying since we started the show, that, you know, the independent artists like yourself need to open up for the bigger artists because, like you said, the bigger artists are drawing the numbers, but you guys will get the exposure and to create some fans for yourself as well by playing to these big crowds, you know.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. I want to, and it's so funny that you brought that up because a few hours ago I got a phone call and there was a promoter that's trying to do something for Haiti, but he was also saying that if you guys are familiar with the Hampton Jazz Festival down here. So he's also a part of that, and they were looking for an act. So I guess that was supposed to get me to twist my arm to make sure I do the Haiti benefit, which I was going to do anyway. But he had mentioned that. So I was like, okay, when I was thinking, I was like, well, shoot, you know, my CD should be out by then, and that's a great, because there's a lot of people that come to the Hampton Jazz Festival. So that's a whole other, you know, audience.
Yes, definitely.
So you performing at the Hampton is contingent on you doing the Haiti?
I think so. See, that's the other stuff, you know. That's the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I don't know. That's why I always try to tell people, like, when a lot of either younger musicians or either, you know, musicians that might be even older than me, but they want to get into this, I always tell them it's good to kind of play and start a band or play with somebody so you can kind of learn some of the business stuff that goes on too. So you won't be, you'll be savvy on how people do things, you know. And that goes into something else, like later on today, which I can't believe I'm doing this. But I'm going to do it anyway because desperate times calls for desperate measures. I have to go to this venue, later on tonight. And I wouldn't normally do this. I would just like, look, you know, check out the CD. I have a MySpace page. I got some music on there, you know, website, whatever, if you're interested. But they want me to come in and kind of do like an audition, you know, exhibition. But the trip thing about it is, they wanted, like, 2 hours of free music. And I'm like, I'm not playing for 2 hours, you know, for you to get a chance to hear me do what I do. I mean, I'm like, an hour is long enough. I really don't even want to do an hour, but I'm like, an hour is long enough, you know, for these people that are trying to get, you know, trying to get something for nothing. And
right.
You have to really watch stuff like that, especially, like you said, as an independent artist and at this level, you know, because I didn't use my buffer this time. A lot of stuff I do myself. But you got to watch people, you know, how they try to be, you know, really slick, you know.
They try to use the fact that you need the exposure to get your music out there, to get you down in the play for free and things like that, you know.
Right.
Alexa, but in this industry, like, so we need to kind of, because you guys are really the key to turning this thing around in smooth jazz, because with your music, it's new, it's fresh, it's something that the people haven't heard, and that's what people are really longing for. You know, we need to have people like yourself to be, quote unquote, a name brand in the business to get this thing turned around again. And the promoters are going to have to kind of flip their script too and start bringing you guys into their venues in different cities to kind of help this thing, you know?
Right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely.
Shanice,
right.
Do you, I'm assuming that you don't have, like, you know, someone to help you in terms of booking shows. You probably do it all by yourself, all, you know.
Yeah.
Are there, like, promoters in the area that, other than the guy for Haiti and the Hampton, that approach you or that you, you know, would love to approach and say, you know, hey, have me on, give me a chance, let me show you, you know, listen to my music or something like that? Because like Mike said, it's true, not only do the artists need to step up and help out, but the promoters also need to change some things and make it, you know, and bring the indie artists on as well to perform. So who's in D.C.? Richard Harris?
Yeah, in D.C. we got Roger Harris. We have Robert Smoot. We have a couple other guys, too, in the area. So, yes, we have a few people in the area.
Have you talked to any of them, Shanice?
Yes, I have. We're Robert Smoot. And see, that's another thing, you know. It's a clique. And D.C., I frequent that area a lot. I used to work with DAF Entertainment. I used to play at Open
right,
TV a
yeah.
lot. And so that was kind of like, that was the most recent thing I've done on a consistent basis in that area. And then I'm starting to work with another gentleman out of Baltimore. He does actually this event that I did with them back in the same weekend as the Capital Jazz Festival last year. It's a clique. You know, they want to deal with certain people. A lot of times they're not open to dealing with other artists. You know, and I have a lot of friends. You know, like Earl Carter, he's a really good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm,
Brian
mm-hmm,
Mills,
mm-hmm.
Secret Society, he's a really good friend
right.
of mine.
Okay.
You know, all these people that I know of, even Jarrett. So all these people I know of, they're like, hey, you know, Shanice, you know, try to do this, you know, try to get with this guy, this promoter. But they are stuck on who they want. And they're not
mm-hmm.
open, some of them are not open to trying other people.
Yes, that's very true.
You know, so I'm still working on it. But like I said, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come, you know, make sure my package and everything is tight and try to talk to some of these people after my CD is released.
Yeah,
that'll
work. And the guy in Baltimore, is he the Roger Hurst or Abdul? Is his name Abdul? Something like that?
No, his name is not Abdul. Gosh, I can't, it's terrible. I forgot his name. I just had a brain freeze. But he was responsible for doing the Chocolate and Cream Affair, which is something that they were trying to raise money for families of railroad employees that are deceased.
Okay.
So it was something like that. I cannot think of that man's name. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah, like, but definitely, I know a lot of the promoters in the area, like to say, and so if you do need some help, like, I'm actually having opening up a booking agency for independent artists, so we can definitely talk and try to get you some gigs up in this area. And like I said, I know the guys from Dashland, they normally have like at Babylon and at the Opus 88. Those
right.
are the venues that they use. So yes, yeah, so I know a lot of the guys in the area, so we can try to work something out. You know, because you guys are the reason that, you know, me and Terry are doing this type of thing, so we can get your music some exposure, get you guys known to a broader audience from the East Coast to the West Coast, you know. And
exactly.
I think
yeah.
that, you know, because that's the way this thing will turn around. You know, artists like yourself, you guys need to get these gigs to get some fans in and things like that. So definitely.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate what you guys do because I was a fan first, and I was listening to the show for a long time. And I was like, this is great what you're doing, because I remember when I was working at the radio station, we were doing the smooth jazz format, I would always jump on my programming director. I was like, you know, how come we don't have dialogue or we just play the same stuff and a lot of these people not even jazz artists, how come you guys, and he has so much music because I would have to, you know, go in his office and clear out a lot of the unsolicited, like these CDs that we'll get from independent artists, and I was like, how come you guys don't play some of this stuff, you know, and they were like, well, you know, you guys know that, y'all know that whole thing.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, we know, yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Hold that thought, but I want to talk to you about that, so hold that thought. I want to play another song. Next song is called After the Rain. And you write all of, oh, you said these are all covers, but you're, and we'll talk to you about your new CD as well. So After the Rain is, who is this one?
This is a Bonnie James tune. Bonnie James tune. Yeah.
All right. After the Rain.
Okay.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you. Long. Oh, so I can't wait for you to hear something new.
Well, let's talk about the new CD, and then I'm going to talk to you about the radio station. But tell us about your new CD.
Well, I'm working on it now, and it's definitely I'm trying to release it sometime in the late spring.
Okay.
This one is this CD is different because this is like I don't like to say total control, but that is what it is. You know, I have total control.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, I was supposed to have like a CD that came out a long time ago, probably two or three of them by now. But it was because sometimes when you're working with people, you know, just I don't know, you know, it's like when you work with different people, they sometimes. Their schedule, your schedule, you know, and all the other things in between just doesn't mix, and then I remember I was supposed to work with two good friends of mine that live in Maryland, and they had like the distribution deal and all this other stuff, and then they fell out, so because they fell out, I kind of got, you know, pushed to the wayside.
Know
what I'm saying? Shorty. So it's always you know. Always something, but this one is different because I have control, kind of doing everything myself. I'm doing all the writing. I got all of my gear straight, you know, and so, pretty much I'm doing majority of the writing. I think I'm gonna I have two songs are going to be contributed from the drummer in my band and also from another producer friend of mine, Brian Sullivan.
Okay.
He's going to help me out.
Do you have a name for it?
Not yet. Some people say I should call it Fearless. I'm getting all kind of names, you know, because they think that, you know, I'm just, whatever I do, I just gung-ho about it, you know. So, but I don't know what I'm going to call it yet. Don't even have a clue. But I did say that I was going to start to blog a little bit about it on my MySpace page and on my website and just kind of show and tell people, like, the whole process. You know.
Okay. So, okay. Well, once it's done, we would love to have you back on to talk about it and play some of the music.
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. Now, tell me what the program director, what was his answer when you asked him why they are not playing the indie music?
He said that it was because the record companies pay the radio station so much money to play their artists. So that kind of shuts us out. And out, the station that I worked for was a small, privately owned station. So we really, you know, of course they needed the money. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't like a Clear Channel or Radio 1 or something like that. So they really needed the money, I guess. And they didn't even want to do like a little segment on Sundays, you know, dedicating to like independent artists.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course we folded, so...
That was my next question.
I mean, you know, they switch form. I mean, the station, from what I understand, main quad is still, you know, still functioning, but they're functioning as a country station. And that's what happened the first time.
God.
We had a jazz station in Richmond. It was well received, but then they wanted more money, and they switched to a country format. But then, you know, it didn't work. So,
that's
know,
crazy.
Frustrating.
Very frustrating, okay. Yeah. Now, Shanice, I want to ask you real fast, the album, will you be using any independent artists from the area on your album?
Yes, I am. I'm going to try to get, I'm friends with Bob Baldwin, too, and he said that he would write something. So I'm going to see if I'm going to hold him to it.
Yeah.
He'll put something
on
it. And so we will see, you know. We'll see what happens.
Okay,
that's
right.
All right. Okay, let's listen to the last song. This is called Funky Shuffle. And this one is by?
Alfonso Blackwell.
Wow. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yes. I like his music. All right, this is Funky Shuffle.
Thank you.
Funky Shuffle. Oh, that's nice. I like that. You're very, I love the way you play. I love the way you play.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Now, do you personally know Alphonso Blackwell?
No, never met him.
Okay. All right. Well, the music sounds good. Looking forward to hearing the new CD and definitely having you back on. So what's coming up? What are you doing in the area the next few weeks?
Well, pounding the pavement is what's going on, because right now this is a slow period, really slow, it seems like, this year. So, you know, we're trying to, and I'm trying to get an alliance with some of my musician friends in the area. You know, we're trying to come together and try different approaches, marketing approach, to getting some of these restaurants and coffee houses and other places, hotels or whatever, you know, to understand why you need to have music and how it increases your business, you know,
right,
as far as bringing people in. So, you know, trying to help generate, you know, a scene or open, like for me, I'm trying to get people who normally may not have music or may not have jazz music in their establishment to be open to that. So that's what I'm going to be working on as far as performance-wise. I don't have any dates coming up other than a potential Valentine's Day thing and a potential, you know, this Haiti benefit I was telling you about.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just wanted to go back to Cheryl for a minute to see if she had any other questions. Cheryl?
Yes, actually, I do have one. Shanice, you mentioned while you were doing your tenure at the radio station that you would sometimes weed out material that had been sent to you that wasn't necessarily jazz, more R&B or whatever. And how do you feel about a lot of the venues that say that they're bringing a particular event and they're labeling it as smooth jazz and then it's more R&B once you get there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like that too much, because sometimes I like to go out too and listen to other people. We try to support each other, you know. And so when I go out and I'm like, oh, you know, you got this and end up playing more R&B, I generally leave, you know, because I want to hear some jazz too. So I don't like that. And I definitely don't like venues like the festivals. The festivals are famous for doing that.
Right.
I know why, and I heard you guys talk about that on the show a while back, where a lot of these jazz festivals are using that name jazz, but then having all these R&B acts. Hampton Jazz Festival is also famous, very
exactly.
famous for doing that.
Yes.
And so, you know, and I hate it, and I appreciate the Capitol Jazz Festival for at least trying to stay true. You know, they have more jazz acts than anything else, but no, I don't particularly care too much for that at all. So I would like to see a lot of the festivals and some of these venues go back to just, if you say you're going to have jazz.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, Terry, we talked about that, you know, on many occasions. Like, you know, most of these festivals, they have a lineup of all, you know, major acts, which is not a bad thing. But if you've got two or three main acts that you know are going to draw in the people, use those beginning slots to fill in with those independent artists, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I understand the thinking behind that. But, you know, since we've been doing this show, Mike and I have learned so much about the music business. About artists. I mean, we have just learned so much since doing this show. So it's interesting, and even today I've just learned something new about, you know, why stages aren't playing indie artists. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
Crazy.
But like I said, Shanice, like anything like that, you can get my information from Terry, or I can, you know, get your information from Terry. We can kind of, like I said, talk, because you're right down the road, you know. Like I said, I'm up in the D.C. area and everything.
Right.
So, like I said, you know, try to hook something up for you with a couple of these promoters up here, or try to hook something up, you know, definitely. I would definitely, you know, be willing to help you out.
Yeah, I would really, really appreciate that. Trying to get back into D.C., you know, love D.C., so always trying to get back up in there. So, yeah, we definitely need to talk, for sure.
Okay, that definitely works.
And I want to thank you, too, for listening to the show as well. You know, sometimes we get guests come into the chat room. They don't necessarily log in, and they just come in as guests, and we never know who's listening.
Yeah,
when it's a guest, we never know who it is. So I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I definitely don't listen live. I always said I wanted to, but I always catch the podcast. I love that because I'm in the car driving or driving somewhere, and sometimes I get tired of hearing music. And I love to hear talk radio, and so I love listening to the show. It is so good, so informative. You know, you hear things about other artists, and you're like, oh wow, I didn't know that. So always learning something new. Same here.
Oh well, thank you, thank you. Well, we look forward to talking to you again when your new CD drops, and definitely let us know. We'll be following you on Facebook, of course, but definitely let us know when that happens, and we will get you back on to talk about it and listen to some new music.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It is our pleasure. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, and we'll definitely put you in touch with Mike so you guys can, talk and get some stuff going down there for you.
All right, cool. Sounds good.
All right, ma'am. Well, thank you for calling in today, spending some time with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Once again, thank you for having me. Really, really appreciate that. Really do. And nice to talk to you, Mike, and you too, Miss Terry, because, we chat on Facebook sometimes.
Yes.
So we will continue to do that, about Monique and about what was the stuff that I was taking. We said something about Monique. She asked about the Monique. I think he asked about the Monique show, right? And we chatted about it online. You remember that?
So y'all keep it inside thing? Y'all keep that inside thing or y'all let anybody know?
When her show first came on, she was doing all of that yelling and screaming, and it was like, I cannot watch this show. she eventually addressed it, and she's kind of toned down some, but in the beginning, it was just rough. I like women singing. That's what I like.
Oh, gosh, it was. I had to agree with you on that one. That's what we were chatting about all the year.
All right. Okay, let everybody in on it now. No, just keep it between y'all two now.
I didn't know if she wanted to go that far with it, because
it's no big secret. Everybody, she even addressed it on her show. So obviously she's been getting feedback and flack behind it. So it's no big secret, but it's just, I just could not watch it. She would come out and start yelling and scream. I'm like, oh, my God, can't take it.
Yeah, for late night. I mean, that was for me. That was a little too much for late night. Late night, I'm trying to wind down. She's like, "Hey, baby."
Oh,
man,
she has great guests on her show. She has great guests on her show.
Yes, she does.
But she's just loud. She is loud. She's just loud. I love her, but she's just loud.
She is loud. Oh my gosh, you are not lying about that. Woo. But we were talking about Wendy Williams or Monique, and we both agree Wendy Williams.
Love Wendy Williams. Yes, I
love
her
too.
Show.
Isn't she fun?
Mike does not like her, but that woman is crazy. I love Wendy.
She is, isn't she? She is so much fun. I would love to. She seemed like a cool person to hang out with. Laughing.
Because he don't like her.
He don't like the show. Oh, my gosh. That show is How You Doing? Oh, that's a great show. That's a great show.
It's so good. Yes, I like her. I like her. All right, ma'am. Well, we will be in touch with you. Mike will be in touch, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime late spring, early summer. Whenever the CD comes out, let us know. We'll have you back on.
Yeah,
will
definitely.
Do. Thank you so much.
Hi, you're welcome.
All right, you guys. Y'all take care.
You too.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye
now.
All right, that was Miss Shanice James, and her band is called the Shanice James Project, and we look forward to hearing her new music later on this year. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back. For 2 hours of the absolute best in smooth jazz with a sprinkling of smooth R&B, join me on the Jazz Queen Show, Fridays, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, on Smooth Jazz for You, that's the number 4, the letter U, .com. Houston's new choice for smooth jazz, WINR. All right. Cheryl, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. I put in a call to Redfoot, so I'm waiting for him to call in.
Oh, okay.
But until he does, tell us about the show last night and why Mike didn't show up.
You know, Mike missed it. And I kind of knew he was going to do that. I felt it to the core of my being that he was going to do that. And he really missed a great show. Redfoot was awesome. His female singer, vocalist, was killing from Jill Scott. The venue sold out. It was just a great show. Everybody that came had a very good time. Rob did a great job bringing the show there, and it was just a good time. Everybody had a great time except for Mike.
I was saying, but that's like a 2-hour drive down now, and the brother was tired. So I was kind of tired. So I mean, I was saying, you know, then that. So I was chatting with Cheryl last night, but I had already told her Redfoot was a very good artist and everything. But I'm glad that she enjoyed it, and I'm glad that everybody enjoyed it. But I will try to make it down for the next one. I don't know who's Rob having next week or whatever, but I'm going to try my best to make it down there. But it's just a ride, Terry. It's just a ride.
See, but Terry, he's not telling you that also for me to get from Virginia Beach, it's the same amount of distance, same amount of time. He's not telling you that part.
Well, I said I was tired.
Okay.
I was physically exhausted. So I mean, I couldn't, you know, make it out. But
wait, he was sitting there exhausted. Okay.
All right. But the show was great. He did a great job, and there was quite a couple of things that were very interesting that that he definitely missed. We tried to catch it on camera, on video, but it was a little dark, so not sure it will come through too good if I even try to post it somewhere. But talk to Angie. She'll tell you. Things were interesting, but the show was great. He did a great job.
Now, did you purchase his CD?
I did, and it's a very good CD. Everybody needs to get it. Everybody needs to buy that CD. It's very, very good.
Yes, I told Terry, same thing. Redfoot should be sending Terry a CD. We're going to have him on, Terry, the 27th of February?
The 27th, yes, February 27th.
Yeah, so he'll be on 27th of February. And the CD, I love the CD. The CD is very good. I love it.
It is. It's very good.
Mm. All right. Well, I went to see your man last night.
And I know that was a great show.
Oh, Najee, it was wonderful. It was just wonderful. I hadn't seen him in a while, but it was good. We had front row seats, my sister and her fiance. We were in the first in the front row, and it was good. It was so, so good. And I have some video of it. I taped some of it, and as soon as I can figure out how to get it from my computer to Facebook, I will post it. It was really good. And they did this version of the Beatles' Come Together. His guitarist, oh my goodness, they killed that song. They killed it.
Yes.
It was so good. It was so
and
good.
I think I think his guitarist is from Virginia also, I believe. So yeah,
okay.
Some good Virginia talent there.
Okay. And I talked to Victor, his name is Victor Williams. He played the Congo drums. I got a chance to talk to him after the concert. He was playing this instrument that I had never seen before called the Zen drum. And I kept looking at him because I was like, what is that? It was really, really interesting. So we're going to have him on the show. I'm looking at February 21st. I sent him an email to see if he's available. He said he has his own music, so he's great for the Behind the Artist series. And so we're going to get him on, and so he can tell us more about that Zen drum thing. If you Google it if you just Google Zen drum, it'll come up. There's a video on the page of a guy playing it, and it's the exact same instrument that Victor was playing last night. Real interesting, real interesting.
Hmm.
So we'll get him on the show as well. And I wanted to remind everyone about the Grammys that is coming up next week, I believe.
Yeah, next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just wanted to remind everyone about the Grammys to be sure to watch it because a lot of jazz artists were nominated in the Grammys. Chris Botti, Hiroshima, the Rippington, Spiral Gyra, and then female artists, R&B, Layla Hathaway and Lettucey were nominated. Best Traditional R&B Vocal for Quinn from Boney James' CD, Send One Your Love for the song Don't Let Me Be Lonely Tonight. So they were nominated as well. Philippe Sace, Randy Crawford, and Joe Sample. So there's a lot of great artists that have been nominated for the Grammys this year. So it airs next week. You have to check your local listings for times. But hopefully, you know, these people will get, they'll win. So we just want to congratulate them all and say good luck to them because, wow, that's great to have all of them in there. Like that. Terry, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you knew if they were going to showcase any of the actual jazz artists, because most of the time when they do their awards and everything, it's usually before the actual
televising
begins. So you only see like names of winners. Do you know what they're?
No, they're not going to showcase. They still haven't changed that yet. They still haven't changed that. But like the one thing that's another thing we got to do is to try to, like, speaking on that, we also have the, you know, Bernie Scott doing the American Smooth Jazz Awards just for that reason, so that these guys can get their recognition doing things like that, because that's one thing that Najee even said, that he was kind of against the fact that when they do the Grammys, they don't let them come on live on TV so people can see these artists, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, they prefer to have the rappers and the rockers and you know, the metal people and all of them come on and get and be presented and be on TV as opposed to the jazz and the R&B artists. So, yeah, it'll probably, like you said, Cheryl, they will be announced before the show goes live, and it'll just scroll across the bottom of the screen who won.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So definitely check that out. And I don't usually watch the Grammys, but I will be watching next week just to see who wins and stuff. And I'm sure people will be posting it on Facebook because we definitely want to give them, these artists, a shout out and a big congratulations, even just for being nominated, you know. So that's great. That is so great. All right. Well, we have 5 minutes left. And I wanted to say that, Cheryl, you may not know this, but Mike knows that the week after Christmas, my laptop and my XM radio was stolen.
Right. I remember that.
And so I've been driving around, and since we don't have a jazz station anymore, it's been killing me to drive in my car and not listen to jazz music other than playing the CDs. Well, I finally got an XM radio yesterday. It came in Friday, a Thursday or Friday, and I am back in business, and I am so happy.
Yes, you can't live without watercolors.
Well, I'm glad you got one back.
I was dying. That just told me right there. Just made me realize right there how much I love smooth jazz and how much passion I have for this genre, and doing this show and having these artists on, and being able to, you know, go to the concerts and meet with them and bring that information back to the show. I absolutely love it. I just love it. So that right there made me realize, and I knew I had the passion for it before, but when I lost that XM radio, it was like, okay, I am dying here. So I have it back. I'm back in my groove now.
Sorry, did you get to go backstage and say hello to Najee last night?
No, but he did he did sign autographs. So I got a chance to talk to him at the table when he signed autographs.
Okay.
And it's also when I got a chance to talk to Victor as well, because they all came out in the lobby. And that's what we were telling, I think we were telling Michael, no, Chris Mescal, that it would be nice if the band members could come out and talk to us as well. You know, we get a chance to talk to them and meet with them as well. And so I was able to do that last night with Najee's band. So I enjoyed that. That was really good. Yeah, that was really good. All right. Well, Redfoots didn't call in, so we will talk to him on the 27th. On the 27th, looking forward to that. Next week, who do we have next week? UNAM is going to be back on next week with Debbie Parks. They have a new venue for the One Soul Jazz Series. They are moving to Gas Lamp in Long Beach. So they're moving from the Cellar to the Gas Lamp, and they have a new lineup of artists. So they're going to be coming back on next Saturday to tell us about the new venue and the new artist lineup. And then we have Michael Stever from Brian Culberson's band. He is a trumpeter. And I was doing some research on him. Very interesting, very interesting. So he will be on next Sunday. All right. All right, so you've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. with your host, Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you next week. Everyone, have a smooth day.